You know, overall, every article you read says the same thing. The average bride spends $20,000 on her wedding. I'm sure that's not everywhere in the country. I live in New York. You can't really get married with a full wedding for $20,000. So budgets are definitely going up. Are they climbing up slowly, going up fast? It really depends upon the industry, depends upon the competition in your market. From what I've seen over the years, a lot of your ability to raise your prices is dependent upon your tolerance for risk in your market. I see a lot of quality work, people not charging enough, and that's really your ability. Every time I see somebody who's raised their prices, they look back and go, how come I didn't do that sooner? So brides will spend for quality work. It's your ability to really take that chance in your market. But you know, we've seen budgets certainly going up.
Thank you. Alan, let's go over to Joe. And our budgets in spending in terms of brides, we're seeing some numbers thrown out, like Alan said, 20 to 25,000 still being used in some surveys. Is that a realistic number? What are you seeing for brides around the country, maybe even certain regions about wedding budget?
I think that is true. And, you know, I've seen across the country, it really depends demographically where you're at. You know, a bride in Baton Rouge is not going to spend probably as much as a bride, as Alan said, as in New York. You know, a lot of it in regards to videography depends upon the brides in the region if they're educated. And I really think that over the past probably 6 or 7 years, all you heard videographers talk about was, well, I've got digital, I'm digital, I'm digital, and I've got a 3-chip camera, and you heard that a lot. That's not so much the issue anymore. I mean, brides are more and more educated, and you know, they're really starting to look at the product and the end product. And I noticed when at bridal shows, brides are paying attention a lot more to the editing work. It's starting to become a little more educated that it's not just shooting the wedding, it's actually the editing afterwards is where all the work's done. And that's how you increase your prices, by educating the brides. I think it's a trend. It's not in all areas, but very much so in a lot of the markets that I've been in.
Good, thank you, Joe. Jennifer, let's hear from you. Jennifer's on the editorial side of Modern Bride. In discussions with brides and in your interviews with brides and also others in the wedding planning department, are you finding that brides, the total budget right now, we're just trying to get an idea of the economics, are bridal budgets up, say, from last year?
Overall, they're up and they're continuing to trend up. But what's really interesting, I think, for this audience is our research is showing that brides are spending much more on the images of their wedding day. Our last survey showed an increase since 1999 of 103% spent on photo and video for their weddings.
That's tremendous. That's a tremendous difference.
Yeah.
Is there a reason to account for that? Do we know why that's happening? Is there some reason that people are doing something a little bit differently that's attracting that, or is it just?
I think it's actually, there's a huge trend in weddings across the board of customizing things. And as brides do that and they make their day more and more unique, it becomes more and more critical that all of those little details that they created are captured.
Adam, we saw, you know, after 9/11, the things go down and brides pulled back. We saw it in our own industry. As things bounced back, and are people now ahead in what you're seeing in terms of budgets and spending on weddings?
Well, our numbers are always a little different than everybody else's, because our brides, quite frankly, are at a very high income demographic. Our brides, 43% of them are $100,000 and up income levels. So our numbers are always a little bit different, and our findings are always a little bit different. And among the higher end brides, we have seen just a steady increase, and we really didn't see a let up for most of that time period. And that is across a million brides that we have as members. And so it continues to increase. What I'm really seeing, because we're very committed to the digital image capture business, both on the photography side and the videography side, is the sophisticated brides are beginning to understand how many more images they can get from a videographer. How many thousands of images a videographer catches and the special moments a videographer catches that a regular wedding photographer does not capture. And the trend that we're seeing is the value creation that videographers have over digital photographers, because they get so many more images and they have that special shot that nobody else
has. Are the brides recognizing that? Is that what you're saying? They're definitely seeing that about video?
We are getting more and more questions about how video can be translated to stills, and people are beginning to understand that video might be a better value, because not only do I get the video, but I can also get the stills that I want from that exact moment that the photographer missed.
I'm going to put you on the spot now. Are you ready for this? What are you doing to help educate them in terms of letting them know about video and its abilities to capture perhaps those stills? Have you discussed that in the magazine at all? Any sorts of articles about that? Or, I mean, not in the magazine, but I mean on the website.
Well, we have two vehicles. We have both the magazine and the website. And a candid answer is not enough. It's one of the reasons we've come and we've wanted to spend some time talking to photographers and have dug into the industry data, because we're seeing, just as we saw just an explosion in digital photography, we're seeing the explosion in how people can understand videography. And so we are talking about that on the website. We are providing content, and we're excited to provide more. We're constantly looking to talk to organizations like WEVA and individual videographers to help people understand how to make better choices and why the perceived expense of videography may not be as expensive as they think it is.
Yes, I can personally vouch for that. That's true, because WeddingChannel.com has recently asked WEVA for information specifically in this area, how they can help inform their readers. So that's an accurate answer, and we're happy to see that people are taking an interest. And I think it's possibly becoming because the brides are taking a higher interest in preserving their memories. Would you not like us, let's move over to Mark in terms of consulting. Are you seeing brides willing to spend more, and what kind of budgets are you dealing with, totally overall?
Typically, brides that are hiring a wedding consultant have a higher budget point than what the national average is showing. So there is definitely more income that can be spread across the board, especially in areas of videography. A lot of it depends on the education that the wedding consultants have received. In working with videographers, coming to events like this and spending time with our local organization, I'm learning more about videography so that I can deal with objections from brides. I had a phone call before I left to fly out here yesterday, and a bride cold call. It was very matter of fact that she was using high-end vendors, high-end location, and she had hired some of her vendors. I said, who is your videographer? Oh, I'm not using one because I don't want a bright light in my face. Very high-end bride. So that was one of the objections that, having worked with our local group, can deal with going back and forth. I think that in a larger scale, in public relations, media follows media. I think that in especially higher end weddings, same thing with video. It will follow in a cycle because brides are seeing high end, really good quality video, not only a finished product, but being shot. So objections like a tripod being rolled all over the dance floor and in the middle of the room, large bright lights, are all being dissipated because they're not seeing that at their friends' weddings anymore, as opposed to what they had seen in the past.
Quick question, how many of your brides, percentage-wise, are having video or want video? Let's say how many first want video, and then how many are you saying wind up actually with video?
I would say that probably 80% of my brides end up using video. I still get objection on the front side of it, and I've had things that even one very nice budget that I did, they were still doing the, you know, I'm going to stick with digital photography, and a actual photographer who was still using film for part of it, and due to family events with her father going in the hospital just before the wedding and not being sure whether he would actually be there to see the events of the day, hired a videographer, and we're very happy that they did, even though he was able to be at the wedding.
From your surveys, your results, what are brides telling you at WeddingChannel.com for the reasons that they don't have video?
We got a very interesting set of answers, and I think I'll give you what the answers were, and then you have to think about what's really beneath the answers. We surveyed about 2,300 people and got an extraordinary response rate on this. And the number one reason people weren't hiring a videographer fell into the category of intrusiveness. It was mentioned before about a bright white light in my face or a microphone on me. Intrusiveness was the biggest fear factor that brides cited for not hiring a videographer. The second one was they believe they'll never watch it again, which is an interesting conundrum or a bit confusing, because the number one reason brides do buy a video is they think they'll have something to show their children, that their children will want to watch it someday. So you have an objection, and then you have the number one reason for choosing it as the counter to the objection. Number three reason was they preferred photographs, which is really quite perplexing to us because we don't understand why that is a choice. Why do you have to prefer photographs over videography? Why can't you do both? Or in fact, our belief that videography might be richer and more valuable than photographs. And the last answer is the one you all hear, I think, the most often, but you have to get underneath it a little bit, and that's expense. We heard the Uncle Charlie answer down at the end by Tom. People are choosing to have a relative. They think it's too expensive. The perception of expense is the biggest challenge, in our opinion, for this group to overcome. How do you help people understand it's not an expense, it's a great investment? You know, you're spending $1,600 or $2,000 on a wedding that might be $20,000, $25,000. Is that really an unnecessary expense, or is that an insurance policy to preserve those memories that are once-in-a-lifetime moments? Getting the kiss, getting the walk down the aisle, those are the once-in-a-lifetime moments to preserve. So is it really an expense, or is it foolish to not capture those moments? So those are the reasons we've seen.
Let's go to Jennifer on the editorial side at Modern Bride. What are brides saying if they don't have video? Are they vocal about it? Do you have some understanding of why they say they don't?
Well, actually, my answers would pretty much mirror his. I think brides worry a lot that they're going to have a mic that will make their dress not look pretty, or that the quiet moments in the ceremony will be interrupted, and questions like that. I think that's more, in fact, than budget, a number one concern of brides.
Yeah, you had mentioned while we were talking just before the conference about the microphone issue. I think it's important.
It's the funniest thing,
but I think you have to tell people.
Yeah, brides really, for this mic issue comes up again and again. The brides are worried about who's going to be wearing the mic, how big is the mic, how much is it going to pick up, is it going to interfere with the sound in the room the ceremony is taking place in. It's a huge concern for them. And it's sort of funny because in the big picture, it isn't a large concern, but brides really need to know that.
Let's start down here, Adam, and what would you say is the percentage of brides finding a videographer either on the net, one question, and then how many are they interviewing before they find or make an actual selection, would you say, based on your surveys?
Well, 35% of the brides are now finding their videographer through the internet or some form of search engine that's online. The preferred approach is still 63% through word of mouth and referrals. So doing a good job is going to get you more business. That's not a surprise to anybody. But the percentage that are finding it through the internet is climbing and climbing and climbing. It's becoming an accepted way of looking for your videographer. One of the reasons is they can do it any time of day they want. They can sneak it in at work, which is still one of the highest times that people use the internet, or they can do it at night when it's quiet and it's calm and they can go and contact 3, 4, or 5 vendors. So to answer your second question, we see them checking about 3 different vendors or 3 different videographers right off the bat before they make a decision. But they go out and they ask them questions or they contact them through sites like ours.
Brett, in terms of brides that are coming into CVP, are they finding you on the net? What percentage is that?
For us, we don't. Most of it is word of mouth that leads them to our website. We do not do a lot of search engine, that sort of work. We're not promoting that. But we are finding that before brides ever get serious in contacting us, they are going to our website first. So
rather than calling you first.
Oh, absolutely. Oh, yeah. I mean, the people that call us, I would say 90% of them, when they call, they say, we've already seen your work on the net. We've already been to your website. We've already seen all this. We have a few more questions. We'd like to come into the studio and clear those things up. It's very rare they come see us at the studio or call without having seen the website.
First of all, obviously, you are in a position to refer videographers. That's why the clients come to you, and they want your referrals. So, for people in this room, we're very anxious to know, how do you select videographers that you refer? Let's start with Mark first.
Well, being very involved with the association in Philadelphia, I get to see everybody's work, and with vendors across the board, whether it's video or anything else, I meet with them personally and get to know not only their work and their pricing, but their personalities, and I feel that once you overcome any of the objections about price or talk to them about it not being, you know, intrusive, it comes down to someone that's going to click with the bride. You're going to be spending a lot of time with them, a lot of interaction with the couple that day, and it will come down to not only the style of what they're looking for as a finished product, because we run the gamut of different styles of videographers, but also personalities of who's going to work well with each.
Okay, so you're looking at personality. That's a big factor, right? Now, how important is their work? How do you evaluate their work?
how I evaluate the work mm-hmm. has less to do with than how the bride evaluates the work, because they're making the final decision on it. My interview process has to find out what their style, feeling, and texture is for the entire event, and their personalities. I do a lot of meetings with them in their homes, in their finding out more about their interests. And a bride who is a little more conservative is probably going to go for a little more conservative, traditional styled video, as opposed to a client that I have that's being married in the balcony of the Kimmel Center, which is our symphony hall in Philadelphia, that's more urban, fun. She's going to go for a very different style of video. So I need to match those up as well.
Okay, and when you're sitting down and the mail comes in, do you find that you're getting DVDs from videographers? Are you being contacted on a regular basis? Of course, now you're connected with the association, so you may, but we want to know.
And doing panel discussions with the association. Shortly after doing any kind of question and answer, I get a flood of 8 to 10 a week in the first 2 weeks. And again, they run the gamut because the members run the gamut. There are people that are still doing what I consider to be very, very inexpensive videos below the budget level of most of my clients, and typically their work reflects that and may not serve my clients very well. In Philly, we've got this great 80% in the middle that runs from $2,000 to $4,000 for video. They're all hardworking, they're very talented, and then we've got another nice size group above that that are doing very high-end videos that are all cutting edge, that are award winners, and that I can still pair up with clients in any price range. Mm-hmm.
Now let's go to Tracy. In terms of selecting videographers, how do you select your videographers? Do you look at DVDs?
Well, I do a lot of things that are very similar to Mark as well. I meet with the vendors first. We sit down, we discuss what their pricing is. We look at the DVDs. We actually go through them together. I talk about what their pricing, what their outlook is on how they treat the client. I try and match the clients with similar to what Mark said, their budget, their personality, and really how they click with a bride.
All right, let me stop you there. I'm going to interject. Want to find out how you select. Obviously, you have some videographers in your stable of people.
Right.
Right? Yep. How did you get those people? Why are you using those people rather than somebody else?
Well, I'm using those people because they are the best at what they do. They have a great product. They have great customer service.
But how did you find them?
How did they?
Did they contact you, or did you go looking for them?
A couple of them I was referred to through one of my wedding associations, a June wedding, and I met and I personally contacted them and sat down with them and met with them in their office, and we had a meeting. I meet them through, like I said, June weddings. I meet them through ABC. I meet them through NACE.
Do they contact you personally? Have you been inundated with videos recently, or you haven't heard from people?
I don't get a lot in the mail. I get them. I would get them personally presented to me. Sometimes I have to ask for them.
So in other words, you're not being, videographers aren't calling you every day to get on your referral list, or they want to contact you, or they...
Not a lot of them. There's a few here, and those, I already know who they are, and I know the quality of their work, and some of them I feel like maybe they're just, maybe they're not ready to give them to me yet, because they're not prepared, to give them to me yet.
And if somebody was wanting to get onto your referral list, I'm going to ask this to Mark too. If somebody wants to be referred by Mark, or somebody wants to be referred by Tracy, what do they do? If one of these videographers wants to get on your referral list, what would be the best thing that they could do in terms of contacting you? Should they send you, should they come up to you afterwards, give you their card, and hope you'll call them, or should they send you a DVD, set up a luncheon with you? What would be best?
Well, I would like them to call me. I mean, a lot of times, like I said, I will meet them already, we'll set up, we'll get a card, we'll talk. I like when they call me and we'll have a talk and we'll meet for a little bit and meet for lunch, and maybe they'll invite me over to their studio so I can actually see
some video.
To see their video. Sometimes it makes a really big difference. I have a nice little 17-inch screen, but it's really, they want me to come and see it in a fabulous viewing room with you know, maybe they have like a 52-inch, you know, high-definition plasma TV, which is like, whoa. And I know that most people don't have that in their living rooms, but it, it really makes a big impact.
If someone were to send you a DVD or a CD, which would you prefer?
Oh, I love DVDs.
DVDs, great. Okay, let's go to Mark. How can the videographer, who is not involved with you yet, get an elbow from Tracy, how can they best be on your referral list? What's, what would they need to do?
A lot of the vendors that I meet with come through just networking. It's really important for me to see people out at events. And I found that myself getting on other people's lists, people have approached me because they've seen me at NACE meetings, they've seen me at other local association meetings, and videographers the same way. You realize at that point that they are out bettering themselves, that they're networking with other videographers, that they are really serious about what's going on. Before I flew out here, I was at an Association of Bridal Consultants conference on the East Coast, and they had a videographer that presented, and the first thing that I said to him, and he didn't know I was coming here, I said, you know, are you involved with any associations? Well, I just split from a studio, and they used to be, and I'm thinking about joining WEBA, and he wasn't that serious about it, and it showed in his work. So meeting people out in the networking situation is really great. I would prefer to look at their demo prior to them doing the hard sell, because I want to know more about the type of equipment that they are using, what their editing style is, so that I can ask them questions that either my brides want to know or that I need to know before I can convince a bride that this is the right person for them.
Same thing over to Joe. Joe, on your side. Question.
Well, you know, with us, most of our print is not is advertorial, is not editorial, and we have got a lot of new things on our website, which includes editorial. And the way that our website works is we have our main website, and then we have home pages for each of our individual markets. So probably the best way to have that put up on our site, which is really the way where we have our editorial and our beginning, our archives and things there, would be either probably to contact us at our corporate office, either myself or Erica Nall, our director of operations, and we can channel it through rather than dealing with different publishers in every city, unless you know them from networking and that type of thing, which if you're out in the community as a videographer and you're a member of WEBA, you probably know us in your market, I would assume. But if not, you know, we can be happy to help you out with that.
Let's go over to Adam. Adam, for editorial on videographers and what they're doing, because we're doing a lot of new and what we feel are pretty tremendous things, and something that we have to offer would be different coming out of this show than what we were seeing last year. How can we get some editorial on WeddingChannel.com?
I think her answer was fabulous. Send us the information. We love to publish this stuff. The nice thing about the internet is it's endless. You can just put as many pages as you want out there. I wanted to come back to one of your earlier questions for a moment and offer the audience a way to think about how to market and what we think are the three P's of videography marketing. Some of you have heard of the four P's of marketing. The three P's are portfolio, personality, and price. Portfolio, personality, and price. Those three things have to be aligned to be effective. And so if you're going to write editorial, think about those three things. Think about your portfolio and how to describe what it is that you do. Let your personality come through and match your price to your talent and match your price to your product. So think about those three P's. You know, finally, and this is going to be a shameless plug, write your own 100-word editorial and advertise on Wedding Channel, and you can have unfettered ability to say what you want to say.
I see Tracy agreeing with that.
I warned you it was a shameless plug.
Alan, on the knot.com, should we send you video? Would you like to see new video, or should we just send a written release?
I'd love to see all of it, but I'm not in the editorial department, so that might not help you there.
You're still not off the hook now.
No, that's quite all right. That's quite all right. Actually, we have a long history with WEBA, and some of the articles that are on our site. Actually, Steve Warnick wrote our, 10 things you should ask your videographer, 15 things, whatever the thing is. Maybe that's growing, too, with inflation. Maybe it's 16 by now. But editorial ideas at theknot.com. You know, we know we have 4,500 articles on our website, and we know that things have become outdated. It just happens. Your industry is moving so fast. I go to the WPPI show. We come to the WEBA show. I can't believe the technology, especially in this industry. I know in the consumer side, we can't keep up. I had it last year. A dish satellite thing recorded one program, now it records two programs at the same time, does HD and all that. You don't know what to buy anymore. The technology moves fast. If you find something that's not accurate on our site, editorialideas@thenot.com, let us know. Again, with our history with the organization, I said this to some people before, the best thing to do as your organization is to come to somebody like us because you have more clout. As an individual, your point of reference from your town, from the way you shoot and the people you deal with may not reflect the entire country. And all of us here, all of us that represent the media, we have to represent the information to brides in Sacramento, in Sarasota, in St. Louis, in San Antonio, every place. It's got to reflect the industry and the gamut of what's available. Just because you shoot this way doesn't mean everybody does. And whatever's available has to be out there, and that's what we want to represent. So editorialideas@thenot.com. Open our magazines, you'll see Rosie Amodio, executive editor, Allison Meccarelli, associate editor. Those are the people that you want to let know that there's information out there that we're not representing.
Great, I think Mark wants to jump in too,
yeah,
with a comment.
As a small business person, sole proprietor, who does his own marketing and not as a large advertising group, media follows media. Start with writing articles for your local dailies. If you have a regional glossy publication that's monthly, write something and submit it to that. Those are the people that are interested in hearing what we say in our own market. When you get printed there, and another publication picks it up, and another publication picks it up, eventually the nationals will start to pick that up because it's already gone on the web. That's the only way to get them to all start to put stuff, because it doesn't apply to the whole country. And unfortunately, it doesn't help us as small businesses to build that unless you start at your local level.
And Tom.
Yes, I brought a little clip. A videographer in Ohio, a WEVA member, Rumford Productions, and I have been kicking around some ideas, and he shot some film. The idea is to take on Uncle Charlie. There's a number of strategies that you can use. And again, as I looked around this room, many of you, this is a non-issue, but I saw a lot of hands go up where it is an issue. And there's a number of strategies that you can use to take on the Uncle Charlie syndrome. One approach is you use fear. I'm serious. You use fear followed by hope in marketing. An example would be, here's a sales letter, and I brought my computer just to give you a few paragraphs to give you one strategy. There's a headline. The wedding came to a screeching halt. Dear bride-to-be, Father Mike was ready for Jim and Ann to exchange vows. And then he felt something resting on his right shoulder. Startled, he looked back to see Ann's Uncle Louie resting his video camera right on his shoulder. True story. The good father was forced to interrupt the wedding ceremony at its most sacred moment and ask the overly enthusiastic Uncle Louie to kindly leave the sanctuary. Amazing. A professional videographer would have known better. Take us, and I put in the name Acme Videography. Acme Videography has cultivated relationships with clergy and wedding officiates throughout the entire area. We are respected for our professionalism. Talk to brides who have used us. We are discreet. You will barely know we're there. And the letter goes on from there. You start with fear, you move to hope.
All right, thank you, Tom. Let's go to Brett. We're winding down here, but we're getting some very interesting answers here. And I wanted to let the members of the audience know a little bit about your own scoring, what you call the scoring method for brides that helps you determine a little bit about how you're going to service them.
You like the scoring method.
I like
you?
The scoring method. Tell us a little bit about it.
When brides come in, and we do this at different stages of our consultation with them, sometimes it's during the selling process, and sometimes it's during the shoot before we shoot a wedding or during the editing process. We'll just ask them a very simple question, which is on a scale of 1 to 10, with 1 being very classic, conservative, romantic, and 10 being avant-garde, creative, edgy, MTV? Where are you in terms of your expectation for a wedding video? Are you looking for something cutting edge? Are you looking for something more classic and beautiful? Are you looking for a mix of the two? And 90% of the time, they will say, well, I'm a five. You know, that's what they want to say. But when they say, I'm a five, you can then say, well, what's that mean? Why are you a five? And many times we'll use that in the sales process because based on the answers they give us to that question, it lets me know exactly what wedding to pop in to show them to try to sell. Because our videos are different depending on the clients and the weddings. And there have been occasions when early in my business, you know, I was really into, you know, I was trying to do experimental MTV style things, but I had a bride and I'm like, oh, I better not show her that. And then when we followed up with her after the appointment, she said, no, I chose someone else who had an edgier style. And I was like, my style's real edgy, you just don't know it. And I just realized that I was trying to read her mind, and as I've learned in 7 years of marriage, I just can't do it. And so I've just found that that is a very simple way in the sales process or in the editing process or the shooting process, just to find out very quickly what's on their mind. And everybody's different. And we thought for a while, oh, this is the key, that's the key. But like was said, people want their wedding, everything about their wedding to be customized and special. And that word, customization, has become a keystone for us in our sales process of saying to people, your video's not gonna be cookie cutter. In fact, let us show you clips from three or four different weddings we've done that were all different, that were all unique, that were all very customized. And we explain how they were customized for that client, for that wedding. And that really excites them to know they're gonna get a one-of-a-kind production. That's a very great marketing tool.
I think it's valuable marketing tool because it does help you delineate things that you might not be able to distinguish otherwise. Alan?
We have some very chatty forums. And the interesting thing I think that I hear from both vendors and from brides, your technology has really taken leaps and bounds. And there's a misunderstanding, like we said, big lights, big microphones, things like that. And brides, until they're shown what's available now, they only know what they can remember. I fell in that tweener time. I got married in 1983. My parents, 1954, have 8mm movies of their wedding. I don't have video. Wasn't available. Nobody offered it to us. Nobody asked us. Videotaping weddings was happening in its infancy, just starting after that. I wish I had video. I talk to people, brides, people that ask me, and I say the same thing. Who's videotaping your wedding? And they, well, I'm not sure. I wasn't thinking about it. And I tell them, my parents' 40th anniversary, I had their movies put onto a videotape. I took all of the 8mm little reels that I had from a kid, put them on there, two sound, it's all, no talking, I'm, you know, there was no sound on there, I'm dating myself on here. But we had, for every decade, we had that music on there. I relate that experience and say, you owe it to yourself to at least consider that. Again, it's not up for me to tell you that you should have it or not. And as the knot, we do the same thing. We tell you that it's available, we tell you what it is, we tell you to use a professional, but you're still fighting that perception of when somebody thinks of a videographer, first thing that comes to their mind is this huge camera up on somebody's shoulder with a bright light, and like you said, there's the microphone, and they're going around and getting an interview from everybody, and they say, that's not what I want.
Okay, let's go to Joe.
I gotta tell a story that something that's happened in a couple of the markets, and one in specific, specifically, is there's a videographer in this market who kind of was new, and don't ask me the name because I don't remember who it was, but he really wanted to get his name out, and he wanted to be referred, and he was in different networking groups and stuff. And what he did is he made took a couple different wedding videos that were shot in that facility that he did happen to do, and the few places that he was at, and he edited a very nice wedding video, but not for the bride, but for the facility to showcase their work. And the same thing, you can do it with a coordinator or a consultant. Those people you want to refer, look at it from their perspective, not from the bride's perspective, not from your editing perspective, for them to use as a selling tool, because they're all trying to sell themselves as well. And, you know, what does it say? You know, video by, and it's going to have the name of who that was, and that's a tool for them. If one of these coordinators or consultants here at this table want, you know, they're selling themselves too, they're being shopped just like you're being shopped, and, you know, why should I hire you? What are your services? Well, here's some of the things that we do. We do this, we And you can show that through editing it differently, not for the bride, but for the vendor to showcase their facility, whether it's the reception itself, their ceremony location. A lot of times brides are shopping reception locations during the week or at night. They're not set. They're not set up for a wedding. They don't look like a wedding. The bride has to try to use her imagination. I can tell you for a fact, I know many reception site and catering directors who have photo albums from photographers that brides are flipping through to see what the room looked like. Why can't she see a video?
Good point. Very good point. Visuals. Jennifer, same question. You mentioned that we have some challenges.
Well, I mean, editorially, just keep working with us. One of the things I have to say is return our calls when we're calling to interview you for a story. and as far as that goes, actually, return calls. One of the things with all of the emphasis on advertising and instant accessibility of your videos, if a bride emails you and you don't respond to her quickly, you've lost her forever. They want instant answers. They want a quick turnaround. They want fast response.
Adam, you had mentioned fast response was important too. Anything else that you would recommend that we can do to help convince brides?
Yeah, I think you have an incredible advantage because your technology captures every moment at the wedding. A photographer, regular photographer, shoots 4 hours and captures 800 images. How many images do you capture in 4 hours? How many, 14,000 times how many minutes do you shoot? So you actually have that last picture of Aunt May dancing in that dance. The photographer might not have caught, but you have it. You have a product that captures every moment. And I think that's a fabulous advantage you have over every other
So how do we get that word out? How do we change? We know we have an advantage. How do we let other people know about it, the market? Best way, any tool, anything we can do that we're not doing?
I think you've had great suggestions on how to work the local press. And pick a theme, pick a story. If you're picking the story of you capture every image, stick with it. I think the ideas here were great. You can go on message boards for various websites. That's, I think, something that hasn't been mentioned, and talk and help brides answer questions. Don't be a shameless promoter, but answer good questions. Give good quality answers on these message boards, and people will respect the advice they get, and they'll come talk to you.
Do you recommend, very quickly, last question, do you recommend that videographers have video on their websites?
I'm going to go back. Yeah, I also recommend milk with cookies. I mean, as I said before, there are three P's I believe that this group has to think about: portfolio, personality, and price. And without the portfolio part of it, you're resting on your personality. So you better.
Well, you mentioned, here's the challenge for us. We all know that video has to be on the website, but what type of video they want? You're saying they want instant gratification, but what happens when we put on a video? We don't know what that bride scores on Brett Culp's score. She may be a 10, but she only popped on a 5. So what do we put on the website? We got lots of video. Do we put on?
There are several categories that brides understand. They understand the director's cut. They understand the narrative cut. They understand the artsy video. Give them different categories and genres of videos to choose from. Educate them as to the different styles that you have, the range of offerings you can give them. Don't just give them, well, here are the 10 best videos I've got. Give them the categories. Show them the breadth of talent that you have and the styles that you can offer.
Any other comments, Alan?
Well, the greatest market research tools are available to you every minute of every day. If you have a website and you intend a bride to see your website, you can go to any of our websites and click through to websites of videographers all across the country. You can see what other people are doing. You can see what you like and what you don't like, which is of course not as important as what the bride likes. You have to think like an internet consumer and say, well, don't put on a 7-minute video clip. How many people are gonna sit there and watch it? Well, you'll say, but it's beautiful, they'll watch it. This is the internet. This is click, 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 they're gonna go through. Message boards. How much money would you have to spend to get 50 brides in a room with the one-way mirror and a moderator to sit there and listen to brides talk? A lot of money. But you can go to any of our message boards, although we don't allow vendors to post. You can post replies and things like that through us. But you want to listen to brides talking? You can do that for free on any of these message boards. You're not going to like everything you hear. And that's okay. That's what market research is. It's hearing what's really going on. The best thing you can do is to look at other websites. I hear more vendors saying, yeah, they're coming to my website, but they're not booking me. And I'm sure Joe's heard that. Everybody here has heard that. Well, guess what? If the bride came to your website and left without calling you, it wasn't the fault of how she got there. It was because she's not seeing what she wants to see.
Good question. Well, on that, we only one last question, because if she's not seeing what she doesn't want to see, we don't know what she doesn't, what she has missed, because she hasn't told us.
It's a very simple answer to that. I don't know how many weddings a year each of you do. I'm sure the answer is going to be anywhere from single digits to hundreds. Ask your brides. What do they like about your website? What don't they like? What did they like that they saw on somebody else's website that maybe they didn't see on yours?
All right, let's go to last question to Chris.
Well, I have four different clips on my website, and I have a bridal preparation, I have a music video highlight, I have a love story, and I have a movie trailer opening. So, like for example, the bridal preparation is very romantic, and it's that music. And then for the movie trailer opening, it's really kind of edgy, kind of loud music. So I just show different styles.
And what was the change that you made? Did you make a change from last year to this year?
It's working, so I'm not changing it.
That's great. How about a hand for our panelists? They gave us some very candid answers. I want to thank you, everybody, for attending, and thank you, and we'll see you at the next session.
Thank you, Ray.
Appreciate it.